Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
This is The Boop Show, episode 289. It's Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. It is the B-O-O-P show for, like I said, Tuesday. I'm Scott. Hey, look over there. It's Brian Dunaway. What's going on, man?
Oh, hi, Scott. It's a Tuesday. We weren't here last week, but we're back this week. Gave me an extra week to play the video games.
Oh, good.
Will my review be any more in-depth? Doubtful.
You have to wait and see. So when I was this weekend on Friday, I picked up Mass Effect Legendary edition, which was all three Mass Effect movies, the first three in collection, all remastered.
UHD. What'd you pick it up on?
I got it on the Series X because I was told that the Series X, if you had a TV that would control it, had the best UHD and 120 frame per second support of all the versions. Although I would imagine
did
the
they
PC
lie? Was it
fine.
The truth?
Yeah, it works great. It looks amazing. So I'm running it at 120. Running it at 4K, running it with full UHD support. The game, it made it all look new. The only thing you notice about it is like some of their facial animations are pretty dated.
Yeah. I would figure as much because, I mean, a lot of problems with that would be just the animation parts. I mean, because you can certainly upscale resolution and you can even retexture map things, but they usually don't go back to reanimated.
No, that's almost like, well, you may as well just be remaking the game, like go full Final Fantasy remake or something. But I've been very impressed with it, and I didn't do all the side stuff. The goal was to just rip through the main story because I never played one and always meant to, but everyone always scared me away with like comments about, oh, the combat's not as good and it really got better in two. Plus, I mean, the story's great, but you got to deal with that Mako car thing that's like too floaty and whatever. I need to stop listening to people. That Mako thing is fine. Yes. It's fine.
Yes.
Okay? And I didn't do all the side stuff, so yeah, you know, a big core of the game I skipped over on purpose, but my goal was to get to the end, bring what characters I got with me, take them into 2, and replay 2, because I loved 2 back in the day. Loved it. But I didn't have all this context before. Now I do, and I'm more excited than ever. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to romance Tally right out of her mind. She's going
to
love it.
Well, you got to. Now, I just saw there was a mod somebody did, a better camera, higher field of view. You know, some of that stuff is kind of
I don't like field of view tweaks because I understand
that part.
I understand why people like it.
The sexy parts.
I get why they like it. So you can widescreen it out a little bit or not widescreen, but, you know, get a better field of vision. Yeah. I understand that. But I usually like what the developers thought was the good baseline. I don't know why. I just don't fiddle with that stuff. I'm assuming that version's for the PC anyway, so it wouldn't matter for me. But
right.
I kind of enjoyed the Mako stuff. I kind of enjoyed the things that everyone told me were janky. And the game's got some jank, but it's old as shit. The thing came out in 2007, and at the time was just groundbreaking. But I'll tell you what holds up: the story, the acting, the portrayal of those characters, like, it's so good. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to play 2. I'm playing 2. Like, tonight, I have this show with you, and then I'm playing Resident Evil on my live stream, and then after that, I'm going to play more of that, even though I don't have time for any of this. I don't know what I'm doing. It's insane. I'm supposed to be drawing tonight, but I don't care.
What are you going to draw? I mean, what's better than a live stream? By the way, if you haven't watched God do his live stream, you totally should check out the live stream.
Would you like to hear an example?
Yes, I would like to hear just a small sample. No, don't give me too much now. I want to have you a little, you know, some
just,
wanting.
Just
I want
a taste. A little wanting. Here's just a taste, okay? There you go. That's a taste.
Yeah, that's live screams.
That's
but
me
you're playing
screaming.
Resident Evil, right?
Right. And this will be, I'm playing Village tonight, but that scream you just heard was for Resident Evil 7, probably when Grandma showed up, because, man.
Yeah. Well, now you've got a whole village to deal with.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of grandmas in some Eastern European country thing. Yeah, I'm pretty nervous but excited. John will be there. He's beat the game three times now because he's a psycho, and he'll be there to sort of guide my path.
You mean John Jagger from your other podcast, The Core?
Yeah, Core from Core, the fastest growing show on the network, Core.
Oh, shut up.
I say this just to annoy Brian. That's the reason I'm saying this.
So it's not There Will Be Dungeons?
It's not.
Also with John?
It's not. For some reason, it's Core with him and Bo. And I don't know why. Core's just killing it. So, you know, look, Core's great. But you know what Core's missing? A focus on indie games. You know what this show has?
Absolutely.
Indie games.
We're like the little mint after them.
That's right. Mm, that's right. So but I guess what I'm saying is, if you're wondering if that the trilogy edition of this game collection of all three is worth it, worth the $59 for all of it, 100% worth it. And I'm not even to number two yet, and that's how much I'm impressed. So play it, love it, live it, be it, all that stuff. All right? All right. Oh, look at you. You got a friend in the chat. John Sterling, 1234, says, Boop is better than Core.
Ooh. John is correct. John is the most correct person in the chat room.
He's the most correct.
Unless you can top him.
There's no competition, you guys. They're both shows for different with different focuses. It's not. That's the whole idea. Yeah. That's the whole point. So enjoy. Brian, you were on There Will Be Dungeons, and maybe we did jump a few spots in the chart because you guest starred on there last week. Nice job on there.
Have to. I mean, it's hard to imagine why you wouldn't jump in the numbers when you have a noob like me hopping into a Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
When's the last time you played D&D in any kind of length?
I was 13 years old was the last time I played Dungeons & Dragons proper. I played Castle Ravenloft, the board game.
Ravenloft's cool.
With the kids a little bit. And I also, I did a lot of test runs, but we never actually did a real campaign. So sure. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And then here's the thing about that long time. I'm not that different. I didn't play seriously since I was 18. And that was in high school and a long time ago. And for whatever reason, I just never got a proper game going. Right. During all of that time, despite all my interest kind of running into D&D all the time, and it's not like I avoided it. I don't know. There's just never any games.
Sometimes you just don't have a group. I mean, it takes like Kyle is an amazing dungeon master.
You got to have
somebody who can really push those games and get you together.
Agreed. A good DM makes the whole thing work. And if you find one, good job, because that's the game. I mean, that's pretty much it. So it's fun to be a part of that now, of course. And now we're, I don't know, 3 years into that thing. And I feel like I'm at least not a complete dumb noob when I started.
You're hilarious.
I thought you did great. You were great. You were fun. And you had the shrug thing going. And I thought it was perfect. So well done. It was fun.
I had fun. And isn't that what's important?
Yeah, that's all that really matters. Okay.
Saving throw.
Now let's do the news. All right, we got a little bit of upfront indie news. You know the Fall Guys studio, the Fall Guys people? I guess they got bought. They're owned now by Epic owns them now, right? Isn't that the deal?
The studio Mediatonic, and I think they're actually... That's the developers, but they're getting published now, I believe. I think you're right. It's,
I thought Epic bought them and just straight up bought them, but I could be wrong. Why do I remember that? Oh, it is owned by Epic Games, says John Sterling. All right. Well, it makes them suddenly less indie, but we don't care. The important point here is if you're playing Fall Guys, the studio accidentally leaked its source code on Steam.
Oops.
Don't do that. So the weekend got off to what was likely a very interesting start for the Fall Guys studio, which apparently somehow managed to leak the game's source code in an accidental Steam update. The whole thing was deleted very quickly, but not before the big banana slip was noticed and captured for posterity by SteamDB creator Pavel Denunchidik.
He's like, let me look at this.
I don't know how you say that guy's name. I'm sure I'm doing it right.
Jundik. That's Jundik. Something good. I don't think you really push that D any. I think it just goes straight to the J. Jundik.
Yeah. And somebody had like tweeted these guys and said, I think you put your source code up. And they were like, oh, shit. And they pulled it off as fast as they could. And now they're probably in timeout over at Epic. I don't know what Epic does and stuff.
I wonder if it was just one guy or lady who's responsible for that upload, or if there's a team. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'd be curious too. Size. Yeah, for sure. Right. I wonder if, like, when you say that there's a whole folder worth of stuff and it's all source code, how are we posting that stuff on Does Steam have, it's actually
easier than you might think. It was made with Unity, and there's in Unity by default creates a backup folder within that game, and it says it names the folder something like backup this folder, but don't ship it with your game.
Do not upload.
And so I guess whoever was doing it was just like, I'm in a hurry, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Upload had a bad here. Day. Here we go. Yeah.
You had then, a bad course, day. That's my pants. Second song reference.
Oh, there you go. Yep. I had a bad day. But I hate that for
I put up the source code and then took it down. I had a bad day. I won't get paid.
It's Unity. I mean, it's not like, I don't think there's like any trade secrets in here as far as the game is developed or anything, but really probably the most dangerous thing is cheating.
Probably.
Right?
Also
figuring out ways to cheat.
One would have to assume, I could be wrong about this, but my guess is they're going to rebuild that entire thing or its sequel in Unreal anyway, because now they're owned by Epic. Yeah. So why wouldn't they?
Yeah. You would want to, maybe not.
Yeah, they may not care that much about that in the end, but we'll see. It was pretty interesting. This just in today, Devolver Digital, one of our favorite indie publishers ever.
Mm-hmm.
They've grown a lot. Again, starting to not sound very indie. Although, you know, the stuff they publish is clearly very indie across the board.
Oh, yeah.
They are now valued at $1.4 billion ahead of a potential public offering. I am old enough to remember when the entire industry was worth about $1.4 billion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nice job.
I tried to get my head around this. I was like, holy crap, $1.4 billion for an indie, studio. I'm like, oh my God. But I was like, is that really a lot of money? I mean, let's take a look. I wonder how many, I'm sure they have way more employees than I suspect.
Well, by today's standards, I'll give you a comparison. Not too long ago, just maybe a month or two ago, Blizzard was valued on its own, like outside of mm-hmm. Activision, mm-hmm. at about $7 billion. So
nice.
I guess Devolver is about a little more than seven Blizzards is how right. you could look at it. So who knows? Valuation's weird anyway, because it can change. So
that, there's
minute.
Your other thing about the Fall Guys, right? Because mm-hmm. this is the publisher. This is Devolver Digital. That was, I guess, who sold
right.
yeah, originally.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I do know that Devolver's, I mean, if they're going to go public, this is a big deal, because up till now they've been a private company.
Yeah.
And they can kind of keep a lot of stuff to the vest. You can't do that. Once you go public, everything becomes literally public. And it's all about your shareholders. So some people may wince at this and think it's a problem. It also means a huge influx of money, which means more development, mm-hmm. more chances to do cool stuff. So it's not all bad necessarily. It was originally founded in 2009. Hasn't been even that long ago. Headquartered mm-hmm. in Austin, Texas, Devolver Digital has cultivated a unique reputation in the games industry for publishing titles such as Shadow Warrior, Serious Sam, Hotline Miami, Hateful Boyfriend, I remember that, Enter the Gungeon, Genital Jousting, and Metal Wolf Chaos XD.
Who could forget Genital Jousting? I actually did play that for half a minute.
Yeah, they don't even have all of them on here. Like Broforce is theirs,
yeah,
thing you Luke like, Carrion or whatever it was last year with the weird
thing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The Carrion, you got it.
Yeah, it's
Loop Hero, which you just reviewed a couple of weeks ago. I
freaking love Loop Hero. Loop Hero is awesome. One of my favorite things of this year, like straight up.
Yeah.
So I'm already a fan.
I'm very excited for Devolver Digital reaching this milestone. I'm excited to see what they do next. But I am kind of disappointed that there goes another indie getting sucked up by a little bit of money.
It's an indie, but... And any publisher, you know what I mean? Like they're not making right. their own games anyway. So I don't know. It feels like that feels different,
do you think that we've, since we've kind of decided as I think games have a lot wider berth for allowing questionable content. And I think even big studios can get away with more and more of that. And I think these little kind of almost sort of kind of indie studios can really, I don't know. They can really manage to put things out there that.
Oh yeah, they can get weird, man. That's what they can do.
Yeah,
like all those crappy porn games, which I have zero interest in on Steam.
except for that one I sent you. What was it called?
Oh, the one. Yeah, we talked about this on Core as well. It's the Ever.
Oh. Except for the cutscenes, it's like all porny. Yeah. The actual game itself looks really cool.
I know. It's got like good graphics. It looks like it has a really nice dual stick shootery mode. And then there's some turn-based stuff that looks fun. If anything, I'm just worried that it's got too many game types and you're not going to be master of any of those if you do too many of those. But yeah, outside of the porny middle sections, it looks like a kind of a rad game. I don't know, very odd. It'd be cool if they would make a version of that where I don't have to. I don't want to sit through anime porn. I'm not interested.
Oh, what kind of porn do you want? You don't want anime porn. What you want? Like some good old American porn?
I don't want any porn if they can help. I like my games minus porn is the way I am. I'm not saying anyone else should. If you like porn in your games, happy days, everybody. If you've seen Steam lately, they got you covered. I'm just saying it's just not for me. I don't care for it.
I like how you're apologizing to the porn community. It's okay. Yes, you can.
Well, you can like what you like. That if yeah. I just don't want people to come at me going, oh, I can't believe you're shame. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm telling you my personal preference is not to be doing it with anime ladies. I'm not into it. So
right. Unless it's VR.
Then in VR, all bets are off. Hubba hubba. Mm-mm. Anyway, that's good for them. We'll see how it goes. What else here? Lost Ruins. Oh, yeah. Looking forward to this. Lost Ruins is a 2D side-scrolling survival action game where you play as a young girl that is awoken in a strange foreign place without her memories. Explore a dark and dangerous world. Battle hideous monsters and topple incredible bosses. Nobody's naked in that.
Yeah.
May 13th. Is that true? No, is it already out? It's out. Is it out?
No. Yes. May 13th. Yes, it is already out. It just came out this, I guess last week. Yeah. Between our shows, it came out.
Yeah. So a new hot indie on the thing. We may get to play this at some point and see how much is this.
Yes. And so far it's receiving very positive reviews. And it is only $20.
2D. Currently. Metroidvania looking thing.
Yeah, I'm down with this.
Yeah, I like the animation. It looks really good.
Except for this one guy who's like, not recommended. He played 5 hours. The visualist game should be shown to aspire. Well, whatever.
Yeah, screw that guy. We don't care about him. But I can tell you, looks right here. Here's one of the reviews. No porn. Okay.
No porn. Right there at the top. It says thumbs up, no porn.
No anime porn.
Right below it, it's like thumbs down, porn.
Right.
No porn.
Like one of this new Blizzard offshoot studio or some people that left Blizzard and started yet another studio called Lightforge Games. One of the first people on Twitter after their announcement asked them, how soon are we going to get games where I can romance the characters and have full frontal nudity? And I went, dude, you know about the internet, right?
Like, you've seen the internet, right? You know, it's a real valid, but it's okay. So, I mean, we joke and stuff, but it's a real valid thing. I mean, there's a whole culture around waifu, right? That's like a whole thing. So
I get it. I just don't. My main thing is, why would you go to a brand new developer and the first thing out of your mouth before you hear anything they're making, no matter what that game is, and your first thing is, well, make sure there's sex and nudity in it.
Right.
And then maybe if the rest of the game is good, okay, fine. But really make sure those priorities are done. Dude, it shouldn't be the priority. The priority should be gameplay and quality.
Yeah, there's like, so something's not right.
Yeah, I don't care about other people's. Your preferences are what they are, and you do what you want to do, and I have no problem with it. I'm just saying, there's no shortage of porn. Go get it. Go get some.
Don't do anything you want. There are laws. Do anything.
Do something
lawfully.
Yeah, do it all lawfully, please. All right, we're talking. Yeah, no perv shaving, says Hank in the chat. We're going to do our games this week, and I flopped around a lot because the one I was going to do today, I need some more time on. I just was so busy, and I ended up playing so much Mass Effect that I didn't give it the time I want to give it a proper review. So count on next week me talking about a game called Voxel Tycoon, which I'm super impressed with so far, which is partly why I want to take some more time. I just really want to fill that thing out. But instead, I'll talk about a game I've been playing for the last week and a half here and there called Base One. And well, first let me ask, Brian, do you recognize that name at all, Base One? Does that sound familiar?
I do. I recognize it from the show notes and me searching for it earlier because I didn't recognize it.
Fantastic. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Base One. For a hot minute, Double Fine had a game that I was super excited about that was in early access some multiple years ago now. I think it may have been 2016 or so. And I don't remember the name of it, but it was basically, kind of a space tycoon thing where you had to set up your space station and build it the way you wanted to, and then mine stuff and build it out and have your people up there survive and have more people come up and join you. And I don't remember what they called it, but they abandoned it. And I remember at the time going, Oh, man, that was a cool idea. I want to play your game. Why is that game not happening anymore? Well, it's okay, because now there's one here that's a whole lot like it. Now, your mileage may vary. I've actually got some cons about this game, but I'll get to that in a minute. This is not an early access. The developer is Pixfroze. Blowfish Studios is the publisher, and the game is called Base One, and it's basically what I described. Their description is this. Base One is a space-based builder game. Where you take control of a network of space stations and its crew, tasks and well-being, manage your resources and defenses as you navigate the wide array of dangers ahead of you. Kind of basic, but the idea is, hey, let's build a big interconnected space station. In one pod, there's a bunch of plant life that we're trying to grow out here. And another pod is a recreation pod. And this pod's where we sleep. And you better have enough power for everything. And it's one of those.
Is this like a space sim of some sort?
Ish.
Am I like...
Ish.
Ish?
Ish. Yeah.
So we're building like a space station.
Yeah, you're building a space station. That's basically it.
Okay.
And you have, like I'm showing on screen right now, this guy named Thomas Hughes. He's talking, giving you instructions.
I do not trust Thomas Hughes. I'm looking at him right now, and no way am I trusting this guy.
Yeah, he's kind of my... I think he's the tutorial guy, if I remember right. I'm not sure.
He's an android, isn't he? Look at him.
My biggest problem with him and everyone, all the other people in this game, is the acting and the writing is atrociously bad. Here, I'll play it. I can have some of this on. Hold center.
On. We've practiced everything on simulators.
Now you will have the opportunity to try everything in practice. Our time is limited, so let's get started.
It's just a lot of really flat dialogue. And
right.
It's
sounds
okay.
Like they got, you know, it's like they hired like voice actors. Sound like they just... They said, hey, we need to fill this spot in.
Yeah,
and I couldn't be wrong. Yeah, you could have found some voice actors.
Somebody call Rick. He's at home on Zoom. He'll read for this guy. He'll be Thomas Hughes or whatever. Yeah, there's
a little
bit of that.
I'm not saying those guys were bad. I'm just saying they weren't doing any role playing.
Right. I'm going to say they're
reading lines.
I'm going to say they're bad. I'll just say they're bad.
Okay.
It's fine.
There
you go. I don't mind. I'll take the heat on it. Anyway, it's okay though, because it doesn't really matter.
But you won't take heat from porn people.
No, no porn people heat. No.
Right, okay.
You stay in heat at home.
You're very passionate.
I don't want porn people heat. I just don't want to argue this point. The thing, if they send me emails about this, I'm going to have to like
respond to it.
Yeah, but when I do, it'll be just me repeating what I'm saying, which is no judgment. I just like video games without porn in it. I mean, what else is there to say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't go, I'm mad at you for not liking a thing you don't want. Well, okay. Well, right. I'm not telling you what to do. Go do your thing. Anyway.
And I'm apparently worried about, poorly paid voice actors who might call me up and leave a very nasty, very bland.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll look at your number. They'll have that. So you got to watch out. Anyway, so this game, you build out these pods, these kind of, portions of a space station. And there's two modes where you can have the lid on everything or take it off. And the lid, if you have the lid on, it just looks like a space station. You can't see what's happening inside. You take the lid off, you see your little people walking around, you see your machinery and your stuff. And everything's got like airlocks ready to add more to your space station. And so you might put on a power pod or put on a... I don't know. What do you call it? Solar thing. Solar array. That's it.
I like power pod better.
Power pod.
They got solar energy in space.
Oh, hell yeah. Cause then,
how that works?
Yeah. Cause you got the sun. See?
Oh, that's right.
And these things, the sun exists in space, Brian. I don't know if you knew that. The little dudes will actually fly out and build it like, little torches and their suits.
Okay.
They build it out. And then you've got your cool thing. Now, the whole thing is beautiful. It's a gorgeous game. That's my number one happy point about it. It's very pretty.
And it is visually very appealing. I'm looking at it now as well. And it does look like a space station almost, but it looks more like something you would see in sci-fi. It looks like it's all gridded out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at our space station, if you look at the real space station, it looks kind of fragile.
Yeah,
these
look like paper.
Very robust.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lots of steel and these steel frames. You know, they're beefy.
Right.
But eventually, you can have this thriving, outer space community. There's a whole story about how Earth is unlivable, and we got to figure out a way to move out in the stars.
I like how you're dragging this guy around, and he's in his pod walking around.
Yeah, basically.
This feels very Sims, though. It feels like you got little people in a room. They're going about their business while you're doing all kinds of construction around them.
You do, and if you build a new offshoot or a new expansion to your thing, they literally act like Sims, where you're not moving them around. They'll go, "Oh, there's a new thing to build. I'll walk over there and take care of it." Or I'll airlock out of here and fly over and weld the thing or whatever. They just you never directly control anybody. You control what they do by just, you know, they have whatever their strengths are or whatever. And so you might assign one to be an engineer. And then when engineering tasks come up naturally through the game, they just walk over there and do the engineering shit. It's one of those. There's lots of games like this that are not in space. Some are in space. You can speed it up too. I don't know why this person playing isn't speeding it up, but he could.
Well, they're just trying to get the full flavor, man. Yeah,
just getting the full flavor.
I don't speed. Do you speed? Okay, so I got a question for you. I play Sims occasionally, and I lots of times I'll forget to speed things up until I just run out of everything to do, and then I'm like, oh yeah,
That's what it's for. This up. Like I don't speed it up until I'm caught up. If I'm caught up, then speed it up until I don't want it sped up. I don't have it sped up the whole time. That's a nightmare. You're just asking for trouble.
No, I can't. I like them. They're fine.
There's a cool sandbox mode.
They're just better than me.
There's a cool sandbox mode in this. There's a cool campaign mode. That stuff's really cool. So my pros are the graphics are awesome and the UI is really nice. That stuff looks great. Art direction, top notch. Very sci-fi, very cool. I like it a lot. The tone and the music are very good. The gameplay basics are strong. Lots of room to improve, but they're pretty strong.
I feel this giant butt coming in any second now.
Well, because here's your butt.
I've seen the Steam reviews, and I'm supposing that maybe you have a few of the same.
There's some negativity in there. The biggest complaint, and they seem to be really quick on the draw as far as like responding. This is not an early access. It's a full-on game that's like out. So it's not like this is like, well, it's early. Give us a minute. We got a roadmap and all that. This is a done game. And because there's some problems with it, they're already like, okay, we're doing this and this and this. We've heard you on this. So we're going to do this. A very active developer is always a good sign. So I like that. Here are the cons. The pathfinding for your crew is straight up broken. There was just a patch that may have fixed some of that, but your guys get tangled up in shit constantly and just treadmill there, stand there and tread. And so they can't make it to the thing you need to build. They just stand there and treadmill. So a lot of times a reload will have to happen or, you know, it kind of breaks it. So they really need to fix that. It's not always, but enough to be super annoying. Some of the gameplay is kind of disconnected between the different systems. What I mean by that is like if you install battery power, the different or knowing like the interface that you use to know, well, where can I put power? And have I already got too many on this generator? And is this battery overloaded yet? Like a lot of it's just a little confusing. I think they could iron some of that stuff out just to make that a little less, I don't know. It's a little fidgety right now. And like I said, the voice acting and story is kind of lousy, but other than that, I think this thing has huge potential. If they keep patching it and keep making improvements to it, I think there's a really cool game underneath all that.
It's called Base One.
Base One. There's a space there. So Base.
Oh, yeah. So it's like O-N-E, right?
Yeah. One, like base number one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and it's, you know.
At some of their.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm looking at some of their other games as well, and they also seem to be very attractive games there. Ooh, Kung Fu Kickball. When does that come out?
Hey, Kung Fu Kickball, get on board now while there's still time. No, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Never heard of it.
I don't have it either, but it looks they got a lot of stuff coming out. But it's all kind of like that. It's like those I don't know. All the games I see here kind of seem like
you're probably looking at Blowfish. Things. So that's probably just
I think I'm
stuff.
Looking at Blowfish. Maybe you're right. Yeah, Blowfish. Yes,
Pix froze. I don't know if they've done anything else as far as.
Oh, yeah. It only goes. So even if you click on the developer, it just takes you to the Blowfish studio. So you can do that as a developer. Usually it'll either bring up just a developer or it'll bring up Blowfish. I don't really remember much about Blowfish. This is not a publisher
I've
that
seen
I'm
their
very
names before.
With.
They do a lot of mobile stuff.
Okay.
So they've had some success there. I don't know how much of it or, you know, if this is their first PC foray or not, but.
Right.
But I like the basics. I think they just need to tweak it. And by tweak it, I mean just, you know, pay attention to the community. There's a lot of hardcore like management sim nerds in there that are really passionate about wanting to play this thing. I think there's a happy place. They just got to patch their way to it. So anyway, pretty cool game though. And I'll give it a tentative sort of like I don't know, maybe give it a month to see what they do to to tweak it before you flop down $25. But there's a lot that I like. So there's
it,
that.
It does look very interesting. Do you know how long? Is it a game that has an ending?
No idea.
Or is it just...
I think the campaign does. I'm sure it does. But
So it does have a campaign versus...
Yeah, It's got a full, regular, story campaign. And then there's basically a sandbox mode. And you just go make whatever you want. And I messed around with both quite a bit. I think I like sandbox better because some of the crankier UI situations are eliminated if you want them to be. You can really get fine detail about what stuff you want on or off, and you can have things automatically wire instead of trying to figure out how to wire everything. So there's some stuff for the more casual player in there if you're looking for that.
And it's 20% off right now on Steam, but like you said, well, no, it's not. It's the link says 20% off, but once you actually get to it, it says $25.
I think it just ended that launch window price. I think that just ended.
That's too bad because this and I'm seeing a lot of people say the same thing in the comments. Most are mixed reviews are like, this should be early access. Not quite. You got some good things here, but not quite.
Yeah.
And maybe they should have just early accessed it.
I think they should have too. I think they probably are, and they're behaving like it is. Like they're not that they're saying that, but they're responding in a way that a good developer would during early access. But since it's supposed to be a full blown game at this point, it does feel a little weird.
There is definitely a two types of people when it comes to early access. It's like either you're like, yeah, I'm good with early access, I'll put my money down. And then you have other people, it's like, that's the dirtiest word you can tell me. Don't even think about bringing that game to me.
Those people are bad.
Until it's done.
People that say that are bad.
they're
I mean, I think you should be discerning. There are tricks to that, knowing which early access games to glom onto and which ones not to. I mean, it all comes down to personal preference, but there have been some times where I've had the best early access experience, like those Deep Rock Galactic is a good example of this.
Well, we're kind of like, we play a lot of early access games, so I think we know when to take it with a grain of salt. It's like, I've seen worse early access games and I've seen better. So you really have to be on that extreme spectrum to really move the needle on us.
And without early access, I wouldn't be playing Shipbreaker, and I love that game.
Yeah.
My very soul yearns for it right now. I want to play it. I want to tear a ship apart right freaking now. But, you don't get early. Those guys have been great. There's another example of good early access. So it can be done. You just kind of got to know what to look for. Very active on their forums and stuff. That's usually a good sign.
Yeah. As an indie shopper, as someone who's shopping for indie games, I usually watch reviews and I usually look to see if it's early access. Then the next thing I always do is I head straight to the forums to see how active the developers are and whether they're actually answering any questions or not. And then I make my decision. Yeah. And then I click buy.
There you go.
Then I click buy.
Yeah, there you go.
Or not.
These are smart choices you're making. So that's Base One for the repeated name. People asked us to repeat the name, so I'm repeating it again. The game is Base One. It is currently on Steam. Oh, I was going to play a little sound. I totally forgot. Here it is right here.
Earth, the cradle of humanity, our common home. You gave us life, food, and technology. We have grown. We have built shining cities to the heavens. We have risen up to great heights and fallen down to the depths. And we have traversed the path of war and suffering. Now, all this can disappear, turn to dust.
See, the voice, that guy's voice is fine. That dialogue is dumb.
It wasn't great, that's for sure. But they definitely should have hired that guy to do the rest of the voice work. He could have just lowered his voice and raised his voice and just did all the voice acting.
I totally agree with that.
However, he did sound a lot like the in the world kind of guy. That guy in a world where
he's the in a world guy.
Launch into space.
So if I had to give it a rating, I'd give this thing 5. Space rations out of 10 so far with a lot of high hope. I have a lot of high hope for it. I think it's going to go.
So in the sandbox part, the thing that's going to make or break this game for me is the intentional left end glitches. So can you ever accidentally eject somebody into space? Because that's what made Sims for me, was doing stupid crap like that.
I don't know. Like, can I ever lock somebody out of their own bathroom because their toilet's too big?
Right.
Like,
Yeah. I mean, if there's not a point where I can accidentally accidentally send somebody out into space from an airlock on accident, then count me out. I haven't tried that. I need you to bake that in.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very much about survival. And so you're not trying to make that happen.
I need a guy running around the spaceship holding his crotch because he can't pee.
Yeah. You pee yourself to death in The Sims. I've done that before. You just pee yourself dry. Yeah. It's not good. Well, anyway. Base one.
Space one.
Base one for those asking. Okay, Brian, tell me about Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Oh my gosh. Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. Told you to play it last week and I did. Thanks, Andrew, for sending me this Steam game code. I enjoyed this short little game. It's called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Yeah.
You get to play as an adorable yet troublemaking turnip. I don't know how adorable he was, but you avoid paying taxes. You solve plantastic puzzles. Expect a lot of puns, by the way. Mm. This is in the description. Yeah. Harvest crops, which I really didn't do very much of, and battle massive beasts all on a journey to tear down a corrupt vegetable government. Now, that last part's a little more true. Mm. So you are Turnip Boy. You're the titular character here, Scott.
Yeah.
And you've made some poor turnip decisions in this post-human world. This is a far-flung future where the humans have destroyed themselves. And apparently through some kind of irradiated radiation poisoning, it's bad. It's bad. Anyway, yeah. The plants come to life, and you are Turnip Boy. And you're finding a little bit of a... You're trying to find your way through the world by not paying your taxes.
You're making your way through the world? Making my way downtown. Oh, there we go. I got a song out of it.
Trying to make it, making the way to the world today.
Oh, it takes everything you got.
All the turnips you got?
Yep.
Yes, just like that. So the game starts out. Mayor Onion shows up, and he's at your front door of your house, by the way, which you
hold on the bunion, the onion, or bunion. The onion is the mayor. Onion. Okay.
Onion. Yeah. He's got many layers. Okay. He's the onion, by the way, is what the 25th anniversary of Shrek now or something crazy or something like that.
Yeah. Can you believe outrageous. That? It's crazy.
It's outrageous. Yeah. I don't know if it's that many, but it's something like that.
It's
anyway, like,
I think it's 20. Yeah.
It's anyway. 20. So you got the onion guy and he's there to collect the taxes. And you say, as Turnip Boy, you say nothing. You know why? Because Turnip Boy doesn't talk. He's a turnip. Mm. And so he says, you can either pay your taxes, go to jail, or do some fetch quest for me. I guess we're going on a fetch quest then. Mm-hmm. So this top-down pixel graphic Zelda-like game is very charming. Turnip Boy is charming, and all the characters and NPCs he runs into are also very charming. You'll spend your time mostly exploring a map, looking for things to collect for either the mayor or, as it would be, another vegetable or fruit. Mm. There's one scene where you have to rob an old lemon. He's a little sour about it, but you need a water pail.
Yeah.
So you do it.
Yeah.
So
you got to do it. You
use the water pail, right? Yeah. As you got to do, man. Yeah. So you use the water pail to flower. It's not what you do at all. You pour water on different plants, uh-huh. and it creates things. Such as a big, giant, square watermelon, which you can then push and insert into objects because that makes sense. And then you can cover areas. Right now, what you're seeing me do is I'm lighting up a plant with my water and it's catching fire. And that burns boxes around it.
Wait, so how
further my progression.
How is your water starting a fire? That seems to go counter to my...
What is it? Sodium? What is it? What catches fire? There's something that catches fire when you pour it on, when you pour water.
Oh,
on. Is it pure?
Well, I guess if you pour it on grease, sometimes it flames up.
Right. But that's not it. Anyway, you don't have to do chemistry.
Thermite, not thermite.
In this game.
Thermite?
It's a good question. I can't remember.
Not thermite.
I can't remember.
Hmm. All right. Well, look at this thing.
Really, but anyway, sodium. Is it just sodium? It's just sodium.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
All right.
What did I say?
I don't
salt?
Know. You said
no.
Salt or
sodium. I said sodium.
Did you say sodium?
I think I did.
I don't know what you said. I'm sure you did. I'm sure it made perfect sense.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you've ever played Zelda, A Link to the Past or Link's Awakening, this is very much in that vein of puzzle solving and exploration and doing little doing the little quest. And unfortunately, it has some of the same things that I hated about that game, which is poor inventory swapping. And which is fine, you know, in these types of games, it's fine if you're if you've got time to just stop, look at your menu, go to your island you need, select it, and then use it. That's fine. But some of the boss fights require you to be able to do it like quickly and on the fly.
I was going to say, and no, you got no time for that is what I would say to that.
I ain't got no time for that, man. Not in these types of games. I mean, I don't know why they do that stuff, but they did. And so I wasn't the only person. I noticed I wasn't the only person complaining about the controls either, because it's kind of a weird setup. It's not really a Nintendo setup. I played this on the PC, by the way. And the buttons for my Xbox controller were like X and B. One was to change the inventory, and the other was an action. So I think the X was the action and the B was the inventory. That's not really too standard in any
game.
Console, than any game. Yeah. So I don't know if you remap it. I didn't see where you could remap it, but I didn't look really hard either. This is a very short game. It's only like two. You can stretch it out to like 4 hours. Stretched it out to 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, shorter than really I thought. Short. I don't know what I thought.
Yeah, it's about $15 right now. But you're definitely not playing for length of game. You're playing for just a good, fun time. There's a lot of funny dialogue. Now, your base one game had really bad dialogue. Mm. This has really bad dialogue. This hilarious and kind of punny. I like it a lot. So it's a lot of fun there. And the characters are really charming. You know, they're just little silly little talking vegetables with silly little smiley faces. Oh, here's the part of the game where you get a little backstory about what happened to the humans. They're shadow creatures. And apparently they have radiation poisoning. They've turned into zombies and they're going to try to eat you.
Oh.
It's your vegetable. So I guess that makes sense.
Oh, geez. Look at that with the hand and the grabbing you with the gut green thing. And
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is the hard part. So you'll see me trying to bring up my inventory, trying to switch over to my shovel and then try to use the action. Problem is the button bring up the inventory doesn't always bring up the inventory. Sometimes it doesn't do anything. So then I think I hit the wrong button and I'm like, oh, well, maybe I hit the wrong button. And then I hit the action. And
I would laugh so hard if I was watching this live stream because I know you're freaking out right now. This is like too hard.
Oh, dude. I'm screaming at this point. I am screaming and cursing and everything else because I'm trying to pull up my, you know, I'm trying to fight here. I got a boss fight.
Right.
You don't want that in your boss fight. You want to be able to, you don't want a fabricated increased difficulty for a game. You want a game to be, you want it to be difficult, not because the interface is clunky. You want it to be a challenge.
Yeah. Like no, I get you. There's a real fine line there, but you're totally right.
Right. Right. Anyway, the story develops a good bit. You get to learn a little bit about who your father was and some of the denizens around town and some corruption that's going on. But one of the fun things you get to do as you go along, they're kind of like touchstones in the game, is you'll find documents. And to avoid those documents being confiscated by the IRS of this turnip world, you rip it up. So you can read it or rip it up. And it's just something so satisfactory about ripping up all these documents. And I ripped all the documents up, by the way. I completed it. I completed this game completely. There was nothing in this game that I did not complete.
You did not complete.
And I completed it in about 4 hours, like I said, which is probably about 2 hours longer than most people will play it.
Well, let me ask you this. This boss lady, every once in a while, just puts a big green puddle on the ground.
Yeah,
is she excreting that, or where's that coming from? Is that
she's barfing that up. There's a cut scene that you didn't really see.
Yeah, I saw her puking up green, but like what I mean is like when she's standing there, is she puking that puddle, or is she?
Yeah, she's puking that puddle. She's not that. That's an implied puddle, Scott. That's what the little dialogue. So you know you've played some JRPGs, right? So there's not really encounters like JRPGs, but you've seen the dialogues, right?
Oh yeah,
it's kind of like you have one graphic, this you know, highly pixelized. Then you have like a talk dialogue, and it's all smooth and graphic-y and stuff. And it's all like, oh, that's really smooth and buttery. Yeah. It's kind of like that. Okay. You got these cutscenes that shows you her puking, and then we just imply it here. We're actually fighting her inside a big puddle.
I just didn't know she was shitting she's pooping it, or what's her deal? But
she's totally just. You can't tell which end is coming out of. but yeah. It's bad. I died a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
Also, there's equipable. There's also equipable passive items that make you fireproof and other such things as what else is other little abilities? I played a lot of this last week. Anyway,
he's a cute
there's a couple
guy,
of passive abilities you can unlock as you go along. It makes the game a little bit easier, less chance for dying. Also, you can collect hats. I think I got all the hats.
Really?
I think I got all the hats.
That's great. Yeah, I saw the sun hat. Yeah. You got a sun hat collection or something.
Got a sun hat collection. Got all that thing. Look at that. Look at that checklist. Look at that checklist, yeah, baby. Yeah,
I like
check,
a checklist.
Check. All those checks. Oh, I still have four left. But it's okay. Spoiler alert. I finished the whole game.
You got the whole thing. Yep.
Yeah. So, you got some audio? If you don't mind playing a little bit of audio.
I'll play a little bit.
It's kind of some very charming audio as well.
Here you go.
Oh, this is the action fight scene. That's me actually fighting the girl.
Oh, this is the girl?
Yeah. There's some puking now.
Oh, covered in goo that she just puked.
Yeah, I'm dying. I'm dying. There's a reason why it sounds like that. I'm covered in puke. I got puke in my ears, my turnip ears. Dead.
I hear you die. And then let's get some more.
Oh, look at this. Oh, turnip boy. You're so dead.
Here's some more.
There's the nuclear alarm letting you know there's something not good.
Wow, it's kind of intense there at the end there. Jeez.
Yeah, it really is. The boss fights are really intense. The music is really fitting to most of the areas.
Mm-hmm.
So area to area has different themes for it. So there's a lot of love poured into this game. And I enjoyed it. And I want to thank Andrew for sending me the game. I would have probably purchased this game at $15. I may not have run out and done it, but man, if this thing comes to like the Xbox Game Pass, there's no reason why
you should totally play it.
Boy commits tax evasion. Developer Snoozy Kazoo. Publisher is Graffiti Games, and this came out April 22nd, so a couple of weeks ago in 2021.
Yeah,
and it just takes a couple hours to beat. And I forgot. One of my favorite places to get games is itch.io,
uh-huh.
And it is currently on sale. For $9.74.
Whoa, under $10?
That's
a deal.
30-something% off, isn't it?
Yeah, go save yourself the $6. That's great.
Go save yourself the $6.
Yeah. I like it.
I got to give. Turnip Boy commits tax evasion. 7.5 turnips out of 10 tax evasions.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And it's not bad. It's not bad. It would be a little bit higher if the controllers were a little better and if the game was just a little bit longer. But what I did play was very enjoyable and was a lot of fun and kind of reminded me like I said, a Zelda Link's Awakening kind of gameplay. Nice. It was good times. It was good.
I think it sounds reminisce. Delightful.
It's me, Mario.
All right, we're going to play. We're going to do a little bit of a Guess My Game. It's a little game we play on the weekly where we play audio from an old game and try to guess what each other's audio is from. I will tell you this week that I'll begin and tell you that mine is a 2007 joint.
Oh, more recent.
Yeah. Let's call this a console experience. And that's all I'll say. So here you go. 07. And think, well, I'll just play it. You'll figure it out.
I would say it's some kind of fighting game.
Excellent.
You would be correct. The question is, which one?
Seven.
Ready, go!
The reason I play this one is there's some talk of this making a comeback. Long-running series, I'll put it that way.
It doesn't sound like Tekken.
Knockout!
Knockout? What do you think it is?
That sounds like a third tier type fighting game that I probably never played.
Oh, it's top tier for me.
Top tier?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. It's the one fighting game that if you told me it was coming back, I would probably be the most excited about.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
I like MK. You know, it's fine. Street Fighter's fine, but.
Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat. You can't argue with that. But this is not that type. You can hear it's not that Mortal Kombat type. It's more like. It's got to be like something stupid. Like it's got to have. Does it have fight in the name?
Yeah, it does actually.
Of course it does. Is it Virtua Fighter or something like that?
You are
or?
Correct. Virtua Fighter 5 Online Edition, they called it, which meant it was the first version of this game where you could actually fight people online. It didn't do it very well, but it was okay. The net code was kind of rough back in 07. But yeah, that's the game. Street Fighter 5. It was an amazing game.
That was
and I loved it. Loved it.
I really baited you into that one because I knew it had to be one of those. And once I got the fight part.
Yeah. For me, it's the, I don't know, there's something about
wasn't
all
there
the
a
virtual
game
fighters.
Called Fight Night or something too, though? Because
yeah, there's Fight Night. Fight Night's like okay. A boxing thing, though. That's an EA game.
That's what I was thinking.
There's another one called Final Fight, which is
that was the other one I didn't think of.
And then you got your what's that one? King of Fighters. That's one.
King of Fighters
yeah,
is the other one.
That's your Neo Geo business there.
Mm-hmm.
Your SNK.
At first, that's what I thought it was, but then I thought 2007. No, I think that would be too late.
Yeah, too late for sure. All right, well done. You did it. Let's play yours. Any setup here for yours?
Yes, the year, Scott, is 1995.
Oh, my Lord.
You might would find this game let me see where it first came out at. I know where I played it, but yeah, I think it's going to be, it's probably something you might have played on the SNES.
Ooh, the Super
I'll
Nintendo
let you go
Entertainment
from there.
System. Okay.
Yes, 1995.
All right, here we go.
SNES. Fireworks. That was misdirection.
Oh. Okay.
This is where you might know it.
Oh my gosh, I don't know what this is. It sounds like the start of a Zelda game. Final Fantasy, is it? Final Fantasy 3?
No, but yeah, I could definitely see it having a Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy at all involved in this?
I don't think it was any...
Dragon Quest? No?
No. You might have noticed a little bit of the bongs in there.
The bongs?
Bong developers are Square Enix.
Okay, so they make Final Fantasy.
The chat room is now having a poop fit because they know what it is.
Is it John loves Chrono Trigger? Is it that?
Yes, it is. Oh, it John is. Loves Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, he does. It says he thinks that's his favorite video game of all time.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of people who just love that. And that's the reason why I thought I would start it with that little bit of misdirection mm-hmm. with the little fireworks and stuff. And
sure.
I thought you would have got it by.
I like those birds. You know
yeah, those are pretty good.
For the time, yeah, it wasn't bad at all. It had such a superior sound chip over the Genesis. It was like not even close.
It's
not even close. I mean, there's something I like about
blast processing.
There's something I like about crunchy Genesis sound, but
yeah,
there's no denying. It's just a better chip.
It was just smooth.
Yeah, it was real good. All right. Well done. That was awesome. We both got it. That means points to us, I suppose. But does it mean we're done? No, it means we have an email address is what it means. Oh, and a reminder that next week I'll be doing Voxel Tycoon and you'll be doing The Wild at Heart on Game Pass.
Yeah, launching this week on Game Pass, yeah. The Wild at Heart.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Looks really good.
Here's one from Cody. Sent this in to boopshow@gmail.com. Says, Dear Boopmasters 3000,
oh.
Have you guys seen the game called Hired Gun? It's an indie studio with a very well-known franchise of Warhammer 40K. I'm hoping to hear Scott's thoughts on it before I buy it. Comes out on the 31st of May. I don't remember if I've seen anything about Hired Gun, so I'm going to look it up now. I do love
Necromunda. I looked this up earlier because I hadn't either.
Oh, you did?
Necromunda Hired Gun comes out June the 1st, pushed back by a day, it looks like.
Necromunda.
And Necromunda.
Yeah, I did see this then because that name is now familiar.
Yes.
This is it's published by Focus, and I like them. They make a lot of cool.
Yeah, Focus games. Does some really good things. They did do a lot of. Warhammer.
Let's see. It's getting right to the point. So it's like a first or single player game, is this?
Yes, it is a single player first person shooter, and it looks gorgeous.
this is my jam.
Mm-hmm. You can become a hired gun. The money's good, the dog's loyal, and the gun's reliable. Embark on a fast-paced, violent, and thrilling first-person shooter set in the darkest reaches of Warhammer 40,000.
I'm a giant fan of the setting, so you had me at 40K.
Most infamous Hive City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Hive City.
It's kind of got a Doom vibe to it, right?
Oh, yeah, very doomy.
But with,
But this is all, it's all 40K. The guns look nice. The lighting looks good. Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, look at that giant monster.
Sign me up. So January or June 1st. Ooh, that looks good. Okay. Thanks for the recommendation. Glad we took a minute to look that up, Cody. Got one more email here from Ian, a.k.a. John Sterling, 1234.
Who is John Sterling?
Yep, we see him here and there. I think he's here today.
Mm-hmm. He's in the chat room right now.
Says, hey, Boop, love you guys' show, and I just wanted to correct something that you guys got wrong about episode 288 when you guys said that Hot Shots Golf made a new game called Clap Hands. That is not the only new game that they made and have changed the name of from Hot Shots Golf to Everybody's Golf that you can get on the PlayStation 4. That's where I play it, and it's a great game. They also have VR Everybody's Golf. Anyway, just wanted to correct that. Your podcast listener, Ian. Ian, I knew this, but I'd forgotten. When we were talking about it, I completely forgot about that game, the PlayStation game. I wish they would put either of those games, either this Clap Hands thing, which I'm really enjoying on my phone. It's fantastic. I want that on the Switch, and I want Everybody's Golf on the Switch. Like, those Hot Shots guys make great golf games, so I'm all about
it. And I think the developer's name is actually Clap Hands, I believe. And wow, they're not good at naming stuff.
Are you sure? Is that their name? Really?
It said developer Clap Hands when I looked it up, but they're so confusing with their naming conventions. Who knows what they... Did you see that little link up posted in the underneath the little little message there? Yeah, look at that. Look at that crazy crap.
Which one? Where?
Yes, it's right underneath the emails. There's a little link there on the MWebCO.
Let me look at it real quick. Okay, so
that's what Hot Shots Golf is now. Oh, a Muppet.
What's with that face? What is this? Is this Hot Shots
Muppet
Golf
with a character named Par? What a weird name to have.
Yeah, his name is Par. I'm sure that's correct. So I'm looking at these guys. You know what? That is true. Clap Hands is the developer, so they're just calling it Clap Hands Golf because it's their golf. I get it.
Their
now.
Golf.
Okay, that's actually better. I like that.
Once again, I think it is Clap Hans. And not
Clap Hans.
And not,
I mean, there's two hands in the logo, so I assume it's hands.
That's just misdirection.
Unless they call them Hans. Oh, my Hans are dirty. I need to wash my Hans.
Hans has two hands.
Now, here's what's weird. In 99, they made Everybody's Golf 2. And then all the way up to current, which is Clap Hands Golf on Apple Arcade coming. And then whenever that exclusive ends, I assume PCs, some other stuff, possibly consoles. But everybody's golf on PlayStation in 2017. Then they have Vita game. Blah, blah, blah. I think these are the Japanese names for Hot Shots, right? Oh, yeah, it is. Formerly known as Hot Shots Golf in North America. So these are those games. Okay.
Yeah. Right. We just said, as Americans usually do, it's like, What'd they call it again?
Yeah, no kidding.
Hot Shots Golf. Worst.
I love those games. They're such good little fun golf games. Mario Golf, I'm really looking forward to, of course, but I'd play one of these, no problem. Well, I am playing one of those. Their Clap Hands Golf is fantastic.
Yeah. Ian, I am bringing my PS4 back into my game room and gonna get Everybody's Golf.
I picked up, they had it on sale. I picked up PGA Tour 20K or 20K or whatever it is.
PGA Tour 40K,
the 2K
Warhammer.
But here's a little tip. If you buy, so it was on sale on Xbox. I'm like, oh sweet, I'll get on my Series X and sit on my ass and play that game because that's where I want to be, is my butt. And I'm playing. I'm like, oh, the frame rate's so bad here. This is real bad. Why is it so bad? And I thought, well, it's probably because it's an Xbox One game and it hasn't been optimized for the new hardware. So this is just what you're going to get, Scott. And I'm like, well, for $24, I guess I can live with it. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going into the settings anyway. Even though on consoles, the little video settings are usually like, stretch your screen to make sure it fits. That's it. Get out. But no, there's an option in there for Hertz and some other stuff. bump that up.
Really?
It's buttery smooth now.
Well, why would they even switch? Why would they even ship it out with not that?
Well, because I think it shipped originally as an Xbox One title, and then this is in there for Xbox One X enhancements.
Right.
And then they why that stuff's not default, I couldn't tell you. A lot of games do that. It's really stupid. They're older games, but yeah, not
dumb.
Older, but
it's dumb.
Oldish. Anyway, I fixed it. Now it's just like buttery smooth frame rate. Looks amazing. No problems. So if you're anyone like me and you're having that problem, it's not your console or the game. You just got to go flick it. Flick it over.
It's not your console or your game. It's the morons who said send it out.
You know what it is? The PC player in me always checks options. Always.
Oh, so yes. That is something that PC. Isn't it funny? We do that as PC players. We do that a lot. It's the first, before I even play, it's like putting salt on your food before you even taste it.
That's right.
It's like, this is going to need some more salt. How do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you know? How do you know?
How do you know? Shut up. I know how much salt I like.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right, moving on. Thanks for the emails, by the way. Boopshow@gmail.com. One quick note. The prize or the Boop Show prize.
The contest has ended for submit your story for the Boop Show win stupid prizes.
Fantastic. So wait, when are we? We need to choose winners at some point, yeah?
We need to choose winners. So me and Scott are going to go over it. I didn't get a chance to take pre-show, but I've closed the comments on the Reddit. So if you go to boopshow.reddit.com, we fired it up. Matter of fact, a couple of the stories that submitted this week were Captain Kipper and some other people who posted things in the Boop Show Reddit. And we did have a contest there. We're going to have a contest occasionally in there to win some game codes, Steam game codes. And one we had that just ended is, do you have a story about that one time you ruined everything by trying to eat, drink while gaming? Well, we got a couple of stories in. So we're going to, me and Scott are going to look over them, and we're going to pick a winner.
Three winners, in fact. American Fugitive, Could Serve Delicious, and Little Big Workshop. All fantastic little titles.
So are we going to give three winners little prizes, or are we going to give one winner one big prize?
I don't know. What do you think? I don't care.
Ooh,
I'm easy.
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to choose, right?
It's hard to choose.
I mean, one person getting all those games, that's intense.
Right, and then they can say,
you know what? Let's do it. One person wins. You take it all.
One person wins.
Yep.
Winner takes it all.
Many enter.
Losers go home with nothing.
That's right. Someone walks out with three codes, and the rest of you do not. So that's how we're doing that. Hey,
and we'll read that on the. Well, at least we'll paraphrase it or read it on here on the show as well.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. That'll be good. Yeah. I like it. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. You can email us boopshow@gmail.com. You can follow me and Brian on Twitter. He's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find the show at Boop Show. And why not give Brian and Scott a little Twitch follow? I'm at Frogpants. Yeah. He's at Brian Dunaway. You can watch him play these games before we talk about them. How about that? How
do it.
About that? My zipper's down. Why? Why is my zipper down?
I didn't. And why are you noticing now?
I don't know. I just reached down and went, oh, that's a hole there. That's not good.
Look, what is this down here in my pant area? Oh, my gosh.
My zipper's
it's
down.
My penis.
Well, it's. It was all
trying to get us kicked off
of,
Twitch.
Anime porn. And it was, you know.
Right, anime porn. Yeah, you look in your pants, that's all you see is anime porn?
That's all I see. It's all I see right now. I see red, and it's anime porn. All right, that's it for the show, everybody. Thank you for listening and being here. If you're in the chat room and you're live right now, today begins, which normally should be Mondays from now on, but today we'll start my playthrough of Resident Evil 8 Village with John Jagger. We're going to do that at the top of the hour here. And stick around if you want to see it, because I'm going to probably do a lot of this and more like that. So if you want to hear me scream, then stick around. I'm actually a little bit terrified, but I'm also juiced up on caffeine. I've got food in me. I ate three tacos for lunch. I'm ready to rock. So let's do it. And it doesn't matter. Hank Plovcraft in the chat says 7 is scarier. No, it won't matter. You don't understand any of that stuff. Any scary games, I'm screwed. Right. I'm screwed. It may be scarier. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I know.
It's not going to matter.
There's a pretty low bar. I mean, Scott's going to be scared. He'd be scared.
Video games scare me. Scary video games terrify me. Horror movies, no problem. Lay them on me. Give me hundreds of them. None of them faze me. Yeah. Not even an issue. The games themselves, heart rate goes up. It's horrendous.
Oh, dude, I've been wanting to put I've seen people do this. I want to put a heart rate monitor on my stream when I play some of these things. Because I swear the last time I played Phantasmagoria. Yes, it. Yeah. I always like having a serious panic attack, yeah. And I was like, oh man, if I could tie this into my heart rate monitor, that would just be wicked cool.
Yeah. Or but I do or have horrifying.
A reason know. Why scary movies don't scare you like scary games. And I think it's because all these scary games usually require you to solve puzzles or navigate, and so you have to really get in close. You have
no,
to
that's
really
100% focus. It. You have to. I have to control it in a movie. Yes. It's none of it's in my control.
You can just kind of look away.
It's like, oh, it's just a thing. I don't even have to look away. It's just like, oh, well, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. So I guess go ahead and do it. It doesn't, to me, that's so linear of a format. It doesn't bother me. But when you're talking about games, it's me in a corner. That's me in the corner. That's our last song reference. But there's me in the corner going, I have to be the one to get away. Like, forget it. Oh, freaking hate it.
Love it.
Anyway, so that's coming up soon. If you want to stick around for that. And if you can't, and you're hearing this later, and you're like, oh man, I missed it. Don't worry. It's all up on YouTube. YouTube.com/Scott Johnson. Super simple, okay? Okay? Okay. That's going to do it for us, for me and for Brian. I think that's it, yeah. For me and for Brian.
I think we got it covered.
We got something, but I think we got it all. Well, that'll do it. Till next time. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.
Ooh.